If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this wartime edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. We are in for quite a ride this week and the coming weeks, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. So glad that you have made us your choice, noon to 3 Eastern, as we cover the early stages of this war in Iran. Welcome, everybody. By the way, our telephone number, and we'll be opening up the phone lines today to talk about the very latest. President Trump is speaking from the White House, and we have some audio from that. Pete Hegseth also weighing in, and we'll get to some of that information as well. So our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Of course, the very latest news is that we have had at least 4 American service members killed in the war so far. The president says we should probably expect more casualties as we move along here. But so far, it has been truly Operation Epic Fury. And we understand, as a matter of fact, Brett Baer, just a few moments ago, got off the phone with the president. And I want you to hear what Brett had to share with us.
Yeah, Dana and Bill, good morning. I just got off the phone with the president. He is very pleased with how things are going, obviously is disheartened about the loss of life, and there may be more, he said, along the way. But as far as the progress, he said they are ahead of where they thought they would be. I want to read some of these quotes that I asked him and how he answered. He said that as far as a plan, they do have a plan, always had a plan. The intelligence, the level of intelligence that they've had up until this point is truly amazing. I asked, so what you're saying is that you know there is somebody on the ground in Iran that is going to rise up. Quote, yeah, I feel there is. I feel that, and some of them are no longer with us, to be honest, because it was 49 leaders that were taken out. That was going to take 4 weeks, we thought, to get rid of the Iranian leadership. And it's always, you know, if they hide, it's a lot longer than 4 weeks. And they would have been hiding. We were shocked when we heard what was going on. We knew exactly what was happening and where. 49 leaders. And, you know, they're talking about using people now that nobody ever heard of, even though they don't know. They're using people, studying people to be the leader that even they don't know who they are. Can you believe that? I said, it's a tough succession plan in Iran. He said, 49 leaders is deep. It's very deep. When they met for breakfast. They assumed it was good for a lot of reasons. Number one, they didn't think we knew, but you never attack in the morning, having to do with winds and sun and a lot of things. It was amazing that we knew everything we knew. He said there is a plan. He points to Venezuela as a template, which means to me that going in, they had some sense on the ground of what was coming next. As far as the military operation, he said there is no greater military in the U.S., and he was praising General Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, for the news conference that he just watched. Cut and dry, as he said, central casting, and they have a job to do, and they're getting it done. Wow. So from the President of the United States, he is pleased does believe that this is going faster than they thought, and he believes that 4 weeks is something that they had put as a kind of calendar of what they were looking at as setting the table for the Iranians to do what they do.
All right. It has just truly been phenomenal, the work of the U.S. military in the early stages of this endeavor. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, retired General John Tykert with us. So we call him Dragon. And John, it's been quite the scene over the past, 48 hours now. What's been your take on what's been happening?
Todd, the American people have to be impressed, amazed, and overwhelmingly proud at our military force that has done already what we have done in the last 50 hours or so. And I think maybe it started with that surprise attack during daylight hours on Saturday morning. And the fact that we were able not just to kill the Ayatollah, but destroy the command and control system within Iran, both for military and political purposes, that have left them deaf, dumb, and blind to conduct this war. And as a result, we have massive advantages. You're seeing those play out. But again, it all started with exquisite intelligence and the ability to strike at a time and place that was a complete surprise to everybody.
You know, it's interesting because there was apparently a lot of intentional disinformation coming out of the White House in the weeks leading up to this really incredibly successful attack.
I think that the adversaries are bedeviled by Donald Trump, and I love that about him, that I think he never takes anything off the table. And even in that press conference in the Pentagon, people were trying to grill the Secretary of War on whether there's going to be boots on the ground, and he said, we're not going to tell you that. And in my mind, you don't tell the adversary what you're not going to do, because it simplifies their strategic calculus, and that's the last thing we want to do. And I love that all options are on the table. I love that we had exquisite intelligence that understood the pattern of life of the Ayatollah and his senior leadership team, and we used that to good effect on Saturday to set the table for the rest of this conflict.
Now, the president is saying, and I know he did an interview with Jake Tapper just a few moments ago, saying the fury is yet to come. And I'm wondering, is that true, or is this another, you know, bit of disinformation? Because what we have seen so far has been pretty amazing.
It has been very amazing, but there's something we've done in the last 2 days that sets the stage for the future. We have created something called air superiority or air dominance. That means that we cleaned up the residual pieces of the air defense system within Iran that had been rebuilt since the 12-day war. But now that we've got air superiority, it essentially is a friendly bombing range for American fighters the size of Alaska. That means that we can now bring in some of those less stealthy platforms that we don't have to worry about getting shot down, and we can go to town on prosecuting targets across Iran without fear of being shot down because their air defenses are shredded.
General John Tykert, before retiring, he was the commander at Joint Base Andrews as well as Edwards Air Force Base in California. Your name was Dragon, right? So would you prefer Dragon or John?
Because you're my friend, Todd, call me Dragon.
Dragon. All right. I just want to make sure you know how to fly and take things out. So I want to make sure I get it right. Dragon, you've got to be so impressed with the work of our pilots, because this is primarily at this stage of the game. People are basically pushing buttons, firing missiles on these Navy ships. And then you've got my understanding is we now have air superiority over Iran.
That is exactly right. And, you know, we make war look easy, Todd, but it is extremely difficult and extremely complex. And you think about all of these planes that are flying to strike targets in Iran are flying at least 2.5 hours just to get there, and then they accomplish their mission, and they fly 2.5 hours back. Now, I think there's an advantage in that Iran desperately striking our Gulf partners are likely going to allow them to start basing strike aircraft closer to Iran than Israel or the two aircraft carriers in the region. That's going to simplify our logistics and just allow us to strike more targets and rain hate down on Iran.
So, you know, there has been a lot of concern about boots on the ground, and I haven't heard anywhere in the planning that that's a part of it. And again, much like Venezuela, this is going to be up to the people of Iran to decide. So it seems like President Trump is just getting the people that were the thugs out of the way so the people can determine their future for themselves.
Todd, that's an important nuance as we watch the press conference in the Pentagon, that the Secretary of War and the Chairman spelled out military objectives. Those are to destroy any power projection capability from Iran. Those are the military objectives. If the President decides to go further than that by regime change, then now there are other elements of national power we can use. Part of that is destroying the regime, and part of that is shifting more of our strike sorties to attack internal security sites, to provide the top cover for opposition leaders in Iran. But like the president said from the very beginning, regime change is up to them. We'll create conditions that enable them to oppose the regime, but it really is up to the 90 million people of Iran, if they so desire, to bond together to finally overthrow this murderous regime.
And General, I know a lot of people in the conservative world, and we'll name names a little bit later, but they're very upset about this. They're saying this is not an America First policy. I disagree with that. Again, in my mind, we have been at war with Iran since 1979 when they took the hostages, and now we finally have a president who said enough is enough.
Todd, I love that the president in that 8-minute speech on Saturday morning spelled out how this has been the most consistent adversary of the United States for the last 4.5 decades. They have gone out of their way consistently for 47 years to target Americans and American interests, to maim and kill them. They have created this arc of instability in the region. They're the number one state sponsor of terrorism. And if that is not enough, they killed 32,000 of their own people in the last couple of months, imprisoned about the same number. This is a murderous regime, and the United States has our interests better applied and achieved once this regime is gone.
All right. Well, look, Dragon, we've got to leave it there. I know you've got a very busy afternoon. We're going to see you tonight on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax, and we'll break down the events of the day, and we certainly appreciate the great analysis here. And I'm going to give you the last word. Certainly, this is a moment for all of us to pray for our men and women, our fighting men and women who are in harm's way right now.
Todd, you are right. There are 50,000 American military members that are in harm's way. We must pray for Admiral Cooper, the leader of U.S. Central Command, and all of those 50,000 Americans that fall under his command. Please pray for them.
All right. General John Tykert, everybody, Dragon, with us exclusively here on the show. General, God bless. We'll see you on TV tonight.
Sounds good, Todd. Look forward to it.
All right. There you have it, everybody. And certainly we're going to bring you a lot of great intel from military experts and leaders throughout the week as we go through all of this. And we're going to be taking your calls as well. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Do you support what the president has done? Are you opposed to what the president has done? There's new polling data out that shows right now an overwhelming number of Americans oppose the president's intervention in Iran. Before we go to break, I want to go to the phones and say hello to Willie in Mississippi, listening to us on WNIX there in the Mississippi Delta. Willie, what say you?
President Trump's the greatest peace president ever to stop 8 wars. One of those wars was the Israel-Iran war. How did that work out?
Mm-hmm. Say that again now. Say that again, Willie. I didn't hear what you said.
President Trump stopped the Israel-Iran war. That's one of the 8 wars that he stopped, supposedly. How did that work out?
What do you mean by that? Okay, Willie, I think, he doesn't have his thoughts together, so we'll give Willie a chance to get his thoughts together. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, if you're looking for a romantic comedy that's actually funny, uplifting, and safe to enjoy with your family, well, this is it. Angel Studios has done something special with Solo Mio, a film that proves Hollywood can still tell a great love story without crudeness or compromise. The movie's set in beautiful Italy, stunning scenery that feels like a breath of fresh air. Kevin James delivers big laughs and real heart, and Jonathan Romy brings a surprising and delightful performance that audiences are going to love. In a world filled with nonstop bad news, it's refreshing to sit down and watch a movie that leaves you smiling. This is wholesome entertainment you can feel good about supporting. So right now, when you become a premium member of the Angel Guild, you'll receive 2 free tickets to see Solo Mio in theaters on February 6th. Grab your spouse, your sweetheart, or your family and let's support stories that celebrate humor, hope, and love. Visit angel.com/starns.com today. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk with Congressman Tim Burchett. He's going to join us. Also, we're going to talk to Hedia Falco, who is an Iranian national. She was born in Iran, now lives here in America, and she's been working with a number of government agencies, and we're going to get her intel on what's happening boots on the ground there. You know, I find it interesting that when you look at, and there are a lot of people in the conservative movement who are really upset about all of this. And I think it's interesting when you look at the reactions to what's been happening over the past 48 hours. The Iranian women are literally tearing off their hijabs and their burqas. And some of them are actually smoking cigarettes. They're burning photos of the Ayatollah. But I thought it was really striking that they were shedding their hijabs, which was mandatory under the Islamic dress code. Meanwhile, here in America, you have all these woke women, and they're literally cloaking themselves in the hijab. And look at the students in Iran. There were great videos of teenagers celebrating in the streets, and I have no idea what these Persians were saying. It was in their own tongue, except you could understand the word Trump, and they were celebrating Donald Trump. They were chanting Donald Trump's name in the streets of Tehran. Meanwhile, you've got students here that are literally chanting death to America. I mean, when you look at what's happening in Los Angeles, for example, and by the way, Southern California has the largest concentration of Persians than any other place in the country. People were waving Iranian flags and American flags. They were dancing to YMCA. But meanwhile, you've got folks like Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, Candace Owens, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they're all out there condemning not only our nation, but President Trump. As a matter of fact, Tucker Carlson said President Trump's actions were absolutely disgusting. And it's interesting because when you take a look at what Tucker said and his observations, he shares the exact same opinion as Jane Fonda and the Islamic radicals. So I, from my vantage point here, this looks like a wonderful day for freedom fighters and a very bad day for the Islamist and their American propagandist. And I would remind you that the Ayatollah tried to assassinate President Trump not once, but twice. They wanted to send Iranian death squads to America to kill Donald J. Trump. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Iran's supreme leader is a pile of kibbles and bits. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I was, and we're going to be taking your calls, your opinions, whether you're for it, you're against it. I want to hear from you on this. But a lot of people are saying, what does the Bible say about war? Well, we've been partnering with our friends over at Dr. Michael Youssef's ministry, MyFaithAssistant.com. And so this morning as I was doing show prep, I just went over there and went to MyFaithAssistant.com and I typed in, what does the Bible say about war? And it gave me some great theological background, a couple of great Bible passages, including Romans 13:4, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. And ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. military is wielding quite a sword today in the Middle East. So go check it out for yourself, myfaithassistant.com. Great, great intel there. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the wartime edition of the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, everybody, Todd Stearns here, and I've got to tell you about my friends at PhD Weight Loss, my very good friends at PhD Weight Loss. I'm down 12 pounds already, and at PhD Weight Loss, they've identified that one thing, and they built a plan that works with your body and not against it. If you call now, they're going to give you 2 free weeks in the program and pay for your food so you can finally see real results without more trial and error. If you're done with the yo-yo dieting and you want clarity, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Stearns. No more guessing, just answers. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Stearns, you're going to get 2 free weeks. You can't miss out on this, folks. 864-644-1900. Say the word Stearns or visit phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. The phone number, one more time, 864-644-1900, and say Stearns. All right, President Trump speaking at the White House. By the way, we're getting word also that the soldiers who were killed in the attacks are already on their way back to the United States. The president says they will be honored. Those service members will be honored at the White House. And the president talking about objectives here. So what is the objective? Because, again, it cannot be regime change. Every time we do regime change, it never works out. So this is really up to the Iranian people. And what Trump is doing is he's giving these people the chance to do that. He says the objectives are clear. We're going to destroy Iran's missile capabilities. We're going to annihilate their Navy. And by the way, I think how many? Nine Navy ships already at the bottom of the sea. And he also says that we're going to make sure the world's number one sponsor of terror can never obtain a nuclear weapon. And I like that. I like that a lot. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is President Trump just a few moments ago. Okay, Dylan, it's that audio that, yeah. Okay, we don't have President Trump. We'll try to get that audio to you in just a little while. In the meantime, the War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, was holding a press briefing earlier today, and Hegseth is really fired up over all of this. We certainly appreciate the great work he is doing. Cut number 8.
Seth, and one for Chairman Kaine as well. I understand to your point here that you don't want to broadcast everything for our adversaries to hear, but the American people also want to know what they're sending their men and women to war for. Is there a concern of this spiraling into a longer war? And then one for the chairman when you're done.
Did you not hear my remarks? I mean, we're ensuring the mission gets accomplished, but we are very clear-eyed, as the president has been, unlike other presidents, about the foolish policies of the past that recklessly pulled us in to things that were not tethered to actual clear objectives. So we know we have plans, we have generals, we have chairmen, we have commanders, CENTCOM commanders, Admiral Cooper, who's executing very deliberately to ensure outcomes that I laid out are accomplished. But we would never in front of a press pool lay out how long that may take. The mission for our warfighters, which is what matters to us, is very, very clear. And they're executing it right now violently.
Yeah, and well said. And again, we're getting back to the whole point of the military. It's no longer a social justice confab. This is a fierce war machine. As a matter of fact, General Raisin Kaine, Dan Kaine, was a part of that briefing today. And here's what he had to say about Operation Epic Fury.
At 3:38 p.m. on Friday, February 27th, the United States Central Command, through the Secretary of War, received the final go order from President Trump. The president directed, and I quote, "Operation Epic Fury is approved. No aborts. Good luck," close quote. In the region, every element of the joint force made their final preparations. Air defense batteries readied themselves, checking their systems to respond to Iranian attacks. Pilots and crews rehearsed their strike packages for the final time. Air crews began loading their final weapons, and two carrier strike groups began to move towards their launching points. Across the globe, our operation centers came alive in Tampa, Florida, here at the Pentagon, and of course forward in the Central Command AOR. As always, operational security was paramount as we sought to maintain and sustain the element of surprise. This operation was highly classified so that at H hour, the enemy would see one thing: speed, surprise, and violence of action. The first movers were U.S. Cybercom and U.S. Spacecom, layering non-kinetic effects, disrupting and degrading and blinding Iran's ability to see, communicate, and respond. At H hour, the beginning of major combat operations, 0115 local Eastern Daylight Time, 9:45 local a.m. Tehran time, as dawn crept up across the Central Command AOR, the skies surged to life. More than 100 aircraft launched from land, sea, fighters, tankers, airborne early warning, electronic attack, bombers from the states, and unmanned platforms, forming a single synchronized wave. This was a daylight strike based on a trigger event conducted by the Israeli Defense Forces, enabled by the U.S. intelligence community. The first shooters at sea were Tomahawks unleashed by the United States Navy, closed in on Iranian naval forces, and began to conduct strikes across the southern flank in Iran. On the ground, forces fired precision standoff weapons, measured, deliberate, precise, and lethal. This was a massive, overwhelming attack across all domains of warfare, striking more than 1,000 targets in the first 24 hours. We are now roughly 57 hours into the operation. In the initial phase, CENTCOM's focus was systematic targeting of Iranians' command and control infrastructure, naval forces, ballistic missile sites, and intelligence infrastructure designed to daze and confuse them. Coordinated space and cyber operations effectively disrupted communications and sensor networks across the area of responsibility, leaving the adversary without the ability to see, coordinate, or respond effectively. The combined impact of these strikes, swift, precise, and overwhelming, has resulted in the establishment of local air superiority. This air superiority will not only enhance the protection of our forces, but also allow them to continue the work over Iran. Over the course of the last 2 days, the joint force has launched hundreds of missions from land and sea and delivered tens of thousands of pieces of ordnance. The effort continues to scale. This included American B-2 bombers, which again, similar to Midnight Hammer, flew a 37-hour round-trip sortie from the continental United States, dropping precision-penetrating munitions on Iranian underground facilities across the southern flank and slightly deeper.
All right, so there you have it from General Kane there. Marjorie Taylor Greene leading the charge, and they're threatening. You've got Steve Bannon, MTG, Tucker, Candace, Megyn Kelly, and here's what MTG said. I want to read this to you. She said, "We said no more foreign wars, no more regime change. We said it on rally stage after rally stage, speech after speech. Trump, Vance, basically the entire administration campaigned on it and promised to put America first and make America great again." She says, "My generation has been let down, abused, and used by our government our entire adult lives, and our children's generation is literally being abandoned. Thousands and thousands of Americans from my generation have been killed and injured in never-ending, pointless foreign wars, and we said no more, but we are freeing the Iranian people. Please." There are 93 million people in Iran. Let them liberate themselves. But Iran is on the verge of having nuclear weapons. Yeah, sure. We've been spoon-fed that line for decades, and Trump told us all that his bombing this past summer completely wiped it all out. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? So MTG's argument is Iran never had a nuclear weapon, and they were never on the verge of having a nuclear weapon. She said, it's always a lie, and it's always America last. But it feels like the worst betrayal this time because it comes from the very man and the administration who we all believed was different and said no more. We thought the victory in 2024 would be finally time to put America first. And we thought that meant the common American man and woman and their children, not the elites. There's also allegations that Trump did this to put the Epstein files on the back burner. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Do you feel betrayed by your president over this? Marjorie Taylor Greene saying this about Donald Trump, I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for, and I gave him my loyalty for free. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. So basically, MTG is calling President Trump a traitor. I mean, this is getting out of control. And again, the early polling data shows that most Americans oppose of our involvement in Iran. I will say this. We cannot allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon. I will say also that I'm very surprised at the lack of pushback. Again, Iran was supposed to have this powerful military, this powerful Navy. Now the Navy is at the bottom of the Mediterranean. And I'm rather surprised by their lack of pushback. I mean, yeah, there have been missiles fired at Bahrain and also in, United Arab Emirates. But for the most part, you know, I mean, it's been sort of quiet on the Iranian side. And it does make you wonder if maybe, perhaps, the Iranians were, in fact, bluffing when it came to a lot of their capabilities and abilities. Nevertheless, this is a country that has been at war with the United States since 1979. And I'm not sure why MTG can't seem to understand. You know, she talks about, boasts about being Gen X. Well, that was a big part of our upbringing during the Gen X years, the fact that Jimmy Carter left hostages behind in Iran. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Here's something most people don't know. When Warren Buffett was just 13 years old, he didn't put his money into a savings account. While other kids were earning next to nothing at local banks, Buffett put $114 into a little-known investment. Today, that $114 would be worth over $15 million. And it wasn't a risky trade. It wasn't even insider knowledge. It was an account that's been around since 1888. And over the last 25 years, it's averaged 29% a year. That's what happens when your money is allowed to compound. Compare that to today's savings accounts, paying less than 0.5%, while inflation quietly eats away at your buying power. Buffett understood early, banks are great businesses. Just not for savers. If you'd like to see what some investors call the 29% account, go now to account29.com. That's account, the numbers 29.com. Again, account29.com.
And welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. There's some great video out there of the aftermath of these shootdowns. You've got there were pilots flying F-15s. They were victims of friendly fire. The Kuwaitis accidentally shot them out of the sky, but everybody's okay. All of the pilots are fine. And what I find interesting is that there's video now of Kuwaiti citizens running up to these folks, running up to the pilots, asking if they're okay, you know, offering them water, trying to help them out, saying that, you know, they're in good hands. That is a wonderful thing to see. And again, Kuwait, one of our friends in that region. But ladies and gentlemen, for me personally, I just don't want to see a nuclear cloud over any American city. I don't want to see that happen. And it concerns me that there's a possibility, not only is there a possibility, but you've got a lot of Democrats and some of these, I guess, American first crowd that say it's okay, that if we've got to lose a city, we'd rather do that than go to war. Now, President Trump just said something that's going to set a lot of other people off. The president said he's not going to rule out boots on the ground. Well, keep in mind, and this is the press corps we've got. They're not exactly the smartest folks in the world, but they don't seem to understand that this president is not like the others. He's not going to go out there and provide detailed plans of what they're going to do to the enemy. The president would much rather than be surprised by the attack. So anyway, we'll see how all that plays out. But I will say, if there are American boots on the ground in Iran, that will go wrong very quickly, very quickly. And that could escalate. But we shall see. Ultimately, though, this is not about Iran as much as it is about China and Russia, and illustrating the massive high-tech weaponry that our fighting men want to have. It's just really remarkable. And for that matter, Israel, too. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, the situation in Austin, Texas, this is the thing that folks ought to be talking about. And it's interesting, the media is pretty much ignoring what happened early Sunday morning in Austin, where a Muslim man from Senegal opened fire on young people out having a good time, enjoying, you know, a late Saturday night, early Sunday morning in Austin, Texas, at a very popular bar. And a number of people are dead, many others wounded. We understand, I think, 3 people dead, 14 others injured. The suspect killed by cops who happened to be nearby and responded in just under 60 seconds. And now we understand that this guy was wearing a sweatshirt, a hoodie that said property of Allah. And underneath that, he was wearing a T-shirt with the Iranian flag design on it. There was also a copy of a Quran that was found in his vehicle. Now, I will just say this to the good people of Texas. You guys better be careful, because there are some very, very dangerous people now living in your state. Let's go to Bob in Houston, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Well, the war has been on everybody's mind, you know, the war in Iran and everything. And kudos to President Trump and his team that have done such a great job there eliminating the regime. And, you know, they got my support all the way. But I just don't want to America to lose track on some of the other things that are going on, especially the SAVE Act with Senator Leaner, John Thune, holding up the SAVE Act. There's, you know, that has to be passed. That's the other part of saving America. It's almost as bad as Iran having a nuclear button over there. You know, with we got to get election integrity. All the illegals will continue voting. What do you think?
Yes, and we've been fierce supporters of that for, well, from day one, and it's incredibly frustrating. You know, last week President Trump gave us one of the best State of the Union addresses in American history, and I thought he just nailed it, and the president specifically called on Congress to do just that. And, Bob, you would think that Majority Leader John Thune would feel somewhat embarrassed or ashamed that the president is having to basically beg, plead, and cajole to get this across the finish line. But John Thune doesn't care. And, Bob, I'm telling you, Thune is not going to bring this up for a vote, because he is bought and paid for by somebody. We've got to figure out who that is. But I'm going to be very surprised if John Thune moves forward on this.
I agree, Todd. We've got to put some pressure on him. All of America, according to the polls, is like the majority of Americans want this passed, Democrat and Republican. I don't see how they can hold up with the people's will.
A majority of Democrats, a majority of independents and Republicans, black, white, and these are overwhelming majorities of people that want election integrity. The idea that you have to show an ID to shovel snow in New York City, but you can walk in and vote without proving who you are, no, that defies common sense and logic. And that's why you're seeing so many people saying, hey, look, we don't want people interfering with our elections. Bob, gotta run, my friend. I know you guys have a big election coming up tomorrow in Texas. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is a wartime edition of the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Let me ask you something. Do you ever feel like the rules are different depending on who you are? When it comes to money, Washington has operated a two-tier system for years. Regular investors are told to play it safe. Stick to the same mix of stocks and bonds and hope for steady growth. Meanwhile, the well-connected often get early access to entirely different kinds of opportunities. That gap doesn't happen by accident. It's shaped by policy, regulation, timing. And when Washington opens a door, capital tends to move quickly. Right now, there's an AI-linked income-style opportunity connected to the massive infrastructure build-out happening across the country, and it doesn't require picking the next hot tech stock. If you'd like to learn more about how it works, visit OxfordRetire.com. OxfordRetire.com. Again, that's OxfordRetire.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. This is a wartime edition of the program, and we have a lot happening this hour. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to be talking to our good buddy, Congressman Tim Burchett. Also, Steve Gill, our resident political pundit, will be along. By the way, here is our great War Secretary, Pete Hegseth, cut number 10.
Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war. But the regime sure did change, and the world is better off for it.
Well said, Mr. Secretary. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, welcoming in a truly world-renowned national security expert, and she is also a person of deep faith in our Lord. She was once a senior advisor at the FBI headquarters and knows quite a bit about what's happening in the Middle East, and specifically in Iran. Hedia Falco joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hedia, good to talk to you again. And, of course, we met each other a couple of weeks ago at National Religious Broadcasters, and we have a mutual friend in the great Jack Hibbs.
Thanks for having me, Todd. I have a new show on the Real Life Network that I'm really excited about. Pastor Jack Hibbs is my pastor.
Well, we're going to talk about that show in just a few moments. I want to get your reaction to the events that transpired over the weekend. It certainly appears that the administration, the U.S. and Israel, caught the Iranians by surprise here.
Yes, it is fantastic. There are millions of Iranian expats, diaspora all over the world celebrating, dancing in the streets, playing music. I mean, that's the original Persian culture that's been hijacked and oppressed by these mullahs for 47 years, and victory is in sight.
Now, I want you to give our listeners a little bit of your background story so that it'll help them understand why you have such a passion for what's happening there in Iran.
prince actually came to the United States in the 60s before the revolution. But I always tell people I'm American by birth, but Iranian by blood. Persian culture is very strong, and I was around it my entire life. I know how to speak Farsi, and I came to Islam actually in college, ended up in counterterrorism, trying to defeat jihadist networks, and then I had a radical encounter with the Lord back when I moved back home to Southern California after 20 plus years in D.C., kind of defeated at the inability to defeat radical Islam, and I just met the Lord on YouTube.
You came to know Christ through YouTube?
Yes, listening to the simple gospel preached by a pastor. But after I followed a link from a girl I don't even know on Twitter who said her pastor changed her life, and that was my entree to the gospel. 25 years in interfaith activity at the highest levels. I was on President Bush's interfaith religious council, and nobody ever preached the simple gospel to me.
This is what an amazing story. And again, proof, I suppose, that God can use the most unusual devices to bring people to him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Met me in my living room.
You know, as we've been watching these events unfolding, it brings back the memories of what Iran used to be like before the mullahs, before the ayatollahs came to power. And it really was a very cosmopolitan city, or at least nation, under the old Shah.
Absolutely. I joke to my friends that I couldn't find a single picture of my grandmother or my mother in anything but a mini dress. It was very liberal. They were culturally Muslim, but it was a very liberal country, and they were prosperous and proud people. You know, it's the Persia and the Bible has been around since, you know, the Elamites and the Midianites from Genesis all the way to the book of Acts, where they were present when, you know, they were preaching the gospel and hearing it in different tongues. The Persian people were there. And so this is this blip of 47 years of oppression of Islam is about to come to an end, and the true culture of the Persian people can be restored.
Do you really think that could happen? I mean, because ultimately, you know, the hardliners say they're still in control, they're still in charge. I know there are a lot of people that are hoping that the Shah's son is returned to power. How do you think this plays out?
Well, I mean, my parents hosted Crown Prince Reza back in the early 90s, so we've been hoping for this revolution for over 30 years, but I have faith in President Trump and Epic Fury that we're not going to stop until it's done. So I pray that this is an opportunity, once the mullah's power has been officially broken beyond repair, that the Crown Prince will return, have a constitutional referendum, and restore Iran to its previous glory.
What do you make of the reactions? I mean, you've got the women of Iran that are taking off their head coverings. They're celebrating in the streets. I saw one lady was smoking a cigarette and burning a photograph of the now dead Ayatollah. Meanwhile, here in this country, you've got these woke American women, and they're literally cloaking themselves in the hijab.
It is so bizarre to me, but it's just indicative of the radical left alliance with Islamism. And, you know, we have Mamdani in New York City, but this is a tectonic shift in the global balance of power, because this will be the first time Islam is defeated at this level in 1400 years. And I believe it'll be the start of a very, very important shift, not only in the Middle East, but here in the United States and Europe, where Islamization is just kind of plaguing our nation and our liberties, and I hope this will bring about a huge shift in the power base and struggle.
Hedy, I was someone sent me some video over the weekend, and it was of an Iranian church, a Christian church somewhere here in the United States, and they're singing all of these worship songs in Farsi. I'm wondering, is before the Shah was removed, were Christians allowed to worship in Iran, and do you see that happening in the near future?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Christian church was free in Iran, and so we had a vibrant Jewish community. There's a very prominent, when people talk about the flags of the people in the streets being both the Israeli flag and the American flag and the previous Iranian flag, there is a strong, you know, inter-religious cooperation that is the history of Iran. And so that absolutely will continue. And people have to understand that Islam was defeated by the Iranian people for years now. The mosques are empty. They were burning the mosques during the revolution. And there's nearly what we believe in the underground Christian church in Iran right now, 2 million Iranian Christians.
Wow.
So that proves that, yeah, Islam has been defeated in Iran.
This is, it's really something to watch. And of course, I'm a Gen Xer. So I remember when, you know, the American embassy was laid siege to and the hostages were taken.
Yeah.
And I want to go back. We're going to play an audio clip. This is Donald Trump back in 1980. He was a young guy. Back then, he was the America's heartthrob. They had him on all the TV shows, the morning shows. And here's what he had to say about the Iranian Revolution. This was all the way back in October of 1980.
When you get the respect of the other countries, then the other countries tend to do a little bit as you do, and you can create the right attitudes. The Iranian situation is a case in point. That they hold our hostages is just absolutely and totally ridiculous. That this country sits back and allows a country such as Iran to hold our hostages, to my way of thinking, is a horror. And I don't think they'd do it with other countries. I honestly don't think they'd do it with other countries.
Obviously, you're advocating that we should have gone in there with troops, et cetera, and brought our boys out.
I absolutely feel that, yes. I don't think there's any question, and there's no question in my mind. I think right now we'd be an oil-rich nation, and I believe that we should have done it, and I'm very disappointed that we didn't do it. And I don't think anybody would have held us in abeyance. I don't think anybody would have been angry with us. And we had every right to do it at the time. I think we've lost the opportunity.
And in a way, lost respect, because if, in my understanding, Hedy, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding is that in the Islamic culture, they only respond to force and strength, not appeasement.
Absolutely. And it's so, I've never heard that clip before, so it looks like this has been in President Trump's mind for over 40 years, and he has demonstrated his resolve through epic fury in this operation, because it's about time to end the menace that these mullahs have been to the world, not only here in the United States, but all over the Middle East through their proxies to Israel. I mean, people keep saying this is all about Israel and he's being forced into it. It is not just about Israel. It is about global order. It is about Christendom. It is about the United States, that we defeat the menace that is these mullahs in Iran.
My goodness. Well, let's talk real quick about the show that you've got with our good friend Jack Hibbs on this incredible, incredible new network that's starting up. Tell us about the Real Life Network and the show you're going to be doing.
Sure. We're super excited because we're constantly expanding. And I was given the opportunity to do a show really on the Islamization and the threat it poses, especially here in the United States, and kind of uncovering the roots of it all the way back to the Islamic armies invading Christendom back from 632 onward. And so just kind of understanding how that threat's evolved and what is our responsibility as Christians to fight back. We hate the sin but love the sinner. So I will definitely be emphasizing the importance of witnessing and evangelizing to Muslims and hoping they come to saving faith in Christ, but also teaching Americans how we can respond faithfully, boldly, and courageously.
Well, this is great, great news. And folks, I would encourage you to go over and check out the Real Life Network. So many wonderful shows, including the Todd Stern Show. So you'll be able to watch that as well. RealLifeNetwork.com is the website. That's RealLifeNetwork.com. Hedy, we really appreciate all of the great insight here. And I just have to imagine, and before we let you go, California has the largest concentration of Persians. What has been the reaction from people in Southern California?
It's just been amazing. I tell people that's where I grew up. I grew up in Tarangelis, as we call it. And there's just jubilation. People, you know, laughing, singing, dancing in the streets. The restaurants are packed. I mean, there's been rallies in support of the revolution in Iran for weeks now. Thousands and thousands of people out on the streets. And so We couldn't be more excited. And what people have to realize is this is one of the wealthiest expat communities in the world. So people are excited to go back, invest, participate, and help them rebuild the country.
All right, great stuff. Hedia Falco, ladies and gentlemen, be sure to catch her show on the Real Life Network. That's reallifenetwork.com. Hedia, God bless, and we celebrate with you. What a great, great thing that's happened.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too.
All right, there you go. Great lady and just an incredibly brilliant mind. And has a law degree. She knows her stuff and was a senior advisor for many, many years to our government on issues related to Iran. Now a follower of Jesus. All right. We've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh boy. Oh boy. Adish. Wow. Dylan, difficult days over in the Middle East, where the world-famous Fairmont Palm Hotel in Dubai, it's like a, I don't know, four-star, five-star luxury hotel. It got hit by a missile, which, you know, everybody's going to be okay, but, it's a huge fire. And now, Dylan, as a result of that, people are leaving negative reviews.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Yes. One guy says, Bartek writes in, I do not recommend the hotel. A rocket hit our room.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing.
Anton said, you know, and it's bad because you think it's a luxury hotel and you think they have amenities like a spa and room service.
Yes.
Maybe a little, indoor swimming pool or something. Anton complained because there were no air defense systems at the hotel. This is not good at all. Damon writing in, don't recommend, just got hit by a missile, was just trying to drink my coffee, darn it.
Poor guy.
This is not good. This guy says, my wife and I were having a little fun in bed when the Iranian drone hit the hotel. It was hot.
The drone?
Apparently. Mm-mm-mm.
Wow.
Anyway, and Farzen says, was not to get left a one-star review. That's never good. Was not told about Iranian drone smashing into my room. Disappointed. What's that gaping hole there? You wanted some fresh air.
These people are funny. They have a good sense of humor about it.
You know, you may as well be. And by the way, those drones, I don't know if you saw any of the videos, but they had some of the videos showing the drones coming in. These things are like, they're almost as big as Cessnas.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting bigger, and they can fly.
And they can fly. They can fly.
They can fly now?
You know, they probably thought it was room service being delivered.
Yeah, probably, yeah. They probably called it up, and, you know,
and then
their window was gone.
Went kaboom.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Say hello to Mike in North Carolina. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Todd, I'm going to have to say I've never been to Dubai, but I've been to the sanitary restaurant in Morehead City.
Well, I think then you probably had a five-star meal, my friend.
That's the truth. Anyway, great that you've let me be on. I just wanted to comment having to do with your last caller, and I think that President Trump is, of course, he's highly intelligent, but we have had some intelligent presidents in the past. However, for some reason, they did not think it was worth their while to take care of these cartels, to take care of these gangs, to take care of these terrorist cells, even though we know where they're at, but they just did not think it was worth their while to mess with that, even though they have caused such damage to this country. And it is just amazing to me. And, you know, I tell you, I was a Bush fan. I was a George Bush fan. And there's been some presidents past that I thought were very good. Unfortunately, President Trump said what he was going to do, and he did it. And we've never seen that before. You know, so I just thank the Lord for President Trump. I think he's doing a great job.
Mike, he's cleaning up problems that should have been resolved going all the way back to Ronald Reagan. I mean, as soon as, you know, again, as soon as Reagan took office, that's when they released the hostages. We should have leveled Iran at that point. And HW, when Saddam Hussein went into Kuwait, he did not, you know, they stopped and they did not overthrow Saddam Hussein when they had the chance. So a lot of missed opportunities, and Trump is just going in and fixing a lot of what previous presidents should have done but did not do. Mike, I got to run. Great call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, 13 pounds, ladies and gentlemen, down 13 pounds. And the weather is great. As soon as the Newsmax show is over, Dylan, I'm heading right over to the gym, and hopefully we'll be shedding a pound 14 later today.
Woohoo!
It's exciting.
It is so nice outside, actually.
It's very
like,
nice.
This is our 1 week we get nice, so you got to take advantage.
So my goal is to lose 75 pounds. That's the goal here. And I know I've tried a lot of different things. I know you guys have tried a lot of different things as well. I just love food, and I'm living back in the South where everything is good. Even the green beans are good because we deep fry them. So, but the problem. So I'm doing really well, and I want to explain why. And what I've got Calitrin, which is awesome, and the Balance of Nature keeps me going with the vitamins and all that great stuff. And now I've got to tell you about PhD Weight Loss, because they're helping me figure out the one thing that I needed to do to start burning fat instead of storing it. And they sat down with me. We did this whole big survey thing, and they figured it all out. Because a lot of times you do these diets, and you never end up losing weight, right? Or you do lose weight, and then it comes right back. So I had to fix all of that, and I had no idea until I was talking to our friends at PhD Weight Loss. So far, so good. And I want to encourage you folks to go check them out, because they built a plan that is working for me. 13 pounds. I know it's, well, yes, not like, you know, huge numbers, but it's like every single pound is one less pound. And they built a plan for me. It is working for me. And if it works for me, trust me, it's going to work for you. And here's the deal. They want to just show you free of charge. So they're going to give you 2 free weeks of the program. They're going to pay for your food, all of that stuff. So you can actually see the real results yourself without having to do trial and error. So forget about the yo-yo dieting. I want you to call PhD Weight Loss and mention my last name, Stearns. They're going to give you 2 free weeks on them. They'll provide everything free of charge. No more guessing, just answers. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Say Stearns. All right? As soon as they answer, say Stearns, and they'll know what to do. You can also pay them a visit at phdweightloss.com. That's phdweightloss.com. They have so many great testimonials of people who've just dropped, in some cases, 100 pounds using PhD Weight Loss. So, again, phdweightloss.com, and use the code Stearns, and they're going to get you all fixed up. That's exciting. Dylan, I hope you had a fun time this weekend. I had to go to one of these political dinners.
Yeah.
Dieter was there. He did a great job. He spoke.
I heard he did a great job.
He brought down the house. All the women were clamoring to be with Dieter.
Naturally, yeah.
Not in the biblical sense. They just wanted a photo with him. But
of course, yeah.
They're like,
no, I did have a good time, Todd.
Ben. Oh, Ben. Ben.
That's exactly what they sound like, too.
Oh, my. Ladies were coming up to me, and I'm like, well, you know, open up my arms. Where's Ben? Have you seen Ben? And yep. I'm like, dadgummit.
Yep. Every time he's here.
There was a long, somebody actually asked me, they said, have you seen Ben Dieter? I said, if there's a large group of women, he will be there.
Indeed.
And yeah, he was.
It's true.
So anyway, we go to this thing, and I didn't want to go in the first place. It's a political dinner, and there are a lot of speeches. It's a Friday night, and you didn't want to go, right? So you knew better.
Yeah, I'm smart. I'm the smart one in this situation, yeah.
So it was supposed to be like, I don't know, a 2-hour dinner or something? 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
4 hours later, my friend.
Mm.
4 hours later.
Yeah, what do you even do? Like, you sit around, you have to just wait till people get done talking.
So the tickets were like, I don't know, $250, $300 a ticket just to get in the door. And somebody, I didn't pay that. Our State Senator Brent Taylor invited me to sit at his table. You know who I was sitting with?
Who is that?
I was sitting with Tim Burchett and Marsha Blackburn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rachel Bells, whose family owns the Peabody Hotel.
Yeah, so you were okay. You had a good table.
I had a great table, but here's the problem. The food. Now, I shouldn't be talking about this. But it's one thing to go to an event that lasts more than 4 hours. It's another thing if the food is not, like, at that $300 level. Now, for $300, you know what I'm expecting. I want the shrimp cocktail, and I don't want those little puny little shrimp. I want jumbo shrimp cocktail at the table. I want rolls, like hot, like, oh, what's the Sister Schubert? I want Sister Schubert rolls, baby.
Yeah.
And they better be piping hot. And I want a big old, I want a heaping chunk of steak, right? Like, you know, I can't eat rolls anymore because of, you know, PhD weight loss.
Yeah,
but that's what I would have wanted. And I would have wanted, I don't know, a big old tub of banana pudding for dessert.
That's what you were expecting.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know what we got?
What?
No rolls.
No rolls.
This arugula kind of crappy salad. It was arugula.
Man.
I'm like, man, it kind of looked like the lettuce you use in the grocery store where they put the ground beef on it, you know, so the blood doesn't get everywhere. That's what it looked like. Hardly any salad dressing. So it was dry when you put it in your mouth, and it was like your tongue didn't want to swallow.
Yeah.
It's like, for the love of God, what is this? So hold on. So then the meal comes, the entree comes, and it's like this nasty-looking, like, chicken leg attached to the thigh, and it's got these mushrooms on top and this cold rice underneath.
Okay. It doesn't sound American. Sorry.
If I had a dog, I would have rubbed its nose in it and said, "Bad dog, bad dog."
Wow. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sure Congressman Burchett was fine if there was maybe a peanut butter cracker or something.
No, Burchett said, "We're hitting the Chick-fil-A drive-thru all the way out of here."
Of course.
He did. And so anyway, and then dessert was something gluten-free.
Ah.
And I'm like, gluten-free? We're Republicans, for God's sakes. We don't eat vegan, and we don't eat gluten-free.
Amen, brother.
Give me a butterfinger. So anyway, I'm on the way out, and this is where I feel I'm just shocked I lost an extra pound because it was so late. I mean, people were exhausted. People were leaving. You know, it's just a long night. These political events kill me. That's why whenever I give a speech, they're like, "We want you to speak for 45 minutes. I don't go a minute over 20. And people appreciate it because nobody's going to remember what you said. You know what they're going to remember? How come we didn't have a steak?
Excellent point. Yeah. Especially graduation speeches.
So
that's a different topic.
So I'm driving home. Everything's shut down. It's dark. Everything's closed except for one restaurant.
Ooh.
And it was the Crystal. And there was a line all the way to the roadway. And you could tell. So I thought, I got to have Crystal. So I pull in and it's, Everybody's Republican. Everybody had the same idea.
Wow. Well, Crystal got a good business that night.
They did. If I didn't know that, I could have had them delivered. We could have done a Grubhub.
You could have. It probably would have been a little better.
Bad dog. 901-260-5926. All that to say, I really had a bad weekend. I wish it was better, but it is what it is. Oh, we've got Steve Gill. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Steve Gill, good to have you with us, the great publisher of TriStarDaily.com.
First of all, if I go to a four-hour dinner, I'm having to eat dinner late in the dinner because I'm hungry before the dinner ends if it's 4 hours long. And second, you know, I spoke at a woman's club years ago, you know, one of those lunch women's clubs. And they brought out two little tiny triangle squares of like a chicken salad or pimento cheese, you know, sandwich. Literally just two little squares or two little triangles and literally a tiny spoonful of macaroni salad. And I thought, well, this this is a good appetizer. That ended up, that was the lunch. And I'm sitting there thinking, I pull that much out of my teeth after I eat lunch. And it's like, I was starving to death before I could get out of the seat.
No. Let me tell you, I was speaking last week in Houston, Texas. I was at the Village Republican Club, the ladies' luncheon at the Houston Racquet Club. And they had a spread. It was all you can eat. The salad wasn't one of these, wasn't one of these hippy dippy woke arugula things. It was like iceberg lettuce, the way God intended. And so I had a little bit of salad. You had the green beans. You had chicken cordon bleu, and they had a really nice setup there. But the thing was, they told me speak for 45 minutes and take questions. Steve Gilp, 20 minutes, took questions. People loved it.
I'm getting ready in a week and a half to speak at the Putnam County Cookville, Tennessee Republican Reagan dinner, and I'm gonna use your advice. I'm gonna go 20 minutes, get out of there. And by the way, I love the Rendezvous in Memphis. You know, their little cracker and cheese or cracker and bologna appetizer. I want more than that for $250. I mean, I love that, but for $250, I'm with you. I want a steak. I want some potato. And I want a cheesecake or something really good for dessert.
That's it, baby. That's it. That's right, exactly. That's. I know it's a fundraiser, but come on, man.
Well, if it was $300 or whatever, for $50 you could have fed everybody great and still made $250 a piece.
Oh, sweet Lord. All that to say, thank God for Crystal. I had to stay up till 5 o'clock in the morning that night to make sure I didn't get indigestion, but it was worth it, you know.
and it probably didn't help anyway. You're still going to get indigestion. It is Crystal. But
exactly. Fair enough.
Does anybody eat at Crystal when it's day outside?
No.
Anybody at all?
No, I don't think so. It's like, but it was so funny, that line, and you knew where everybody was coming from. Oh, it's brutal. All right. Wow. Steve, we've been talking about what's happening in Iran, but I want to focus on what's happening here in this country. There's a situation in Virginia, the state police, they're saying it wasn't terrorism, but apparently there was a car crash. Guy gets out, stabs four people, kills a woman and her dog. That sounds a little suspect to me. And then we've got the situation in Austin, Texas, where the guy from Senegal, who was wearing a Property of Allah sweatshirt, went on this rampage. And it's a reminder that Joe Biden let some very, very dangerous people into this country. And in the case of the guy from Senegal, I believe that was a Bill Clinton screw-up.
And then as of an hour ago, because I checked, Amazon is still offering those freaking sweatshirts. So Amazon, pull them, or people need to stop ordering from Amazon, who are promoting this kind of terrorist sort of activity by offering that same wannabe sweatshirt. And this guy, more and more is coming out about him. I think CNN has already reported him as a white Amish MAGA supporter, just to, again, cleanse the record. But when you look at the guy's track record, he got admitted under kind of questionable status, then qualified by marrying somebody to get more legitimate status, then divorced her, got status apparently for two other successive wives that he married to get legal status. I mean, our entire immigration process from top to bottom needs to be reworked, revised, and about half the folks we've let in need to be booted out, including some members of Congress.
Well, no doubt about that. And again, we've had for the past two or three years, members of Congress, at least two or three dozen. And every time I ask the question, they say it's not a matter of if, but when we have terrorist attacks on American soil, sleeper cells. Well, I'd like to think we know who these people are and where they're coming from so that we can go and get them and boot them out of the country. And I'd like to start at Columbia University, where you had the anti-Israel group saying death to America.
Yeah, and again, they're not meaning that in the kinder, gentler, you know, we just mean, you know, death that we hope you die of old age. I mean, they're wanting to make sure it happens sooner rather than later. And every now and then they'll try to claim that, it's just rhetoric. Well, we see too often that rhetoric turns into reality for us to continue to trust that, they don't really mean it. Oh, and by the way, you were talking about Ben Dieter and how women always flock around Ben Dieter earlier. What kind of regime covers up in black burqas the kind of Persian women I'm seeing dancing and celebrating the
right.
death of the Ayatollah? It's like, we ought to take out Iran on that basis alone. You're covering up these beautiful women for the last 47 years. Give me a break.
Yeah, no, that is a fair point. Those are, I mean, they're just, all of them look like they're fashion models stepping right out of these burqas. And you're like, dude, what are you people thinking over there?
I like the term that the Persian women are the Latinas of the Middle East. I think that's pretty accurate.
All right, Steve, y'all, careful now. But again, you know, when you look at what that country has been through, and going back to the Shah of Iran, who was, again, a murderous dictator, but at least people had some semblance of freedom, and they didn't have to live in fear of the Islamist.
Well, and when we look at regime change, keep in mind, we helped boot the Shah. The French flew the Ayatollah in from France, where he was living. We manipulated that change. How did that work out? Our regime change efforts generally, you know, end up with we replace a really bad guy with a really worse guy, and we've seen it over and over again. And I don't think that it was the Trump intention necessarily that regime change is the number one goal of what we're doing in Iraq. I think it's a hope. The first is to stop their development of nuclear weapons. Second is to stop their development of long-range ballistic missiles. And third, to stop them from funding terrorism. All of those are reasonable goals to do what we've done. And as you see them attack their neighbors, it underlines why we don't want these guys to ever have nuclear weapons. They shouldn't have anything bigger than a slingshot because they will use it.
Mm, well said. All right, Steve, I got to run. We are up against the clock, my friend. TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. Go and read all of Steve's great work. Steve, good hearing from you.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk soon.
All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is on the line. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
How are you, sir? Well, not much. I just want to call in and tell you guys, I heard you guys talking about the awful food that you had to endure. Well, I just went through about 90 days not being able to eat any kind of food except for a high-fiber diet, and I just got finished eating a double meat Whataburger for lunch.
You had a Whataburger for lunch?
Yes, sir. I sure did.
Wow. So is that the burger of choice there in Texas?
It is. It really is.
You see, I don't mind a Whataburger. I don't like the mustard. I'm not a big mustard guy on my burgers.
No, I'm not either. I just do ketchup and mayonnaise instead of the mustard.
Okay. Well, there you go. So has In-N-Out arrived yet, or are you guys still Whataburger country?
Yeah, we're still Whataburger country. In-N-Out came here for a little while, and I think there's only one out in Richmond area, but everywhere else that kind of just went away. But the burger of choice here in Texas is, of course, is a Whataburger.
Well, this is good to know. You're not going to want to listen to the next segment of the program, Mike, because I do have a bad Whataburger story to share. But
that's hilarious.
So just a warning, a heads up: Whataburger and Smoothie King are about to feel the wrath of Starnes. So. Well,
oh, man. All right. Well, can't wait to hear that.
Well,
all right, you know?
Mike, congratulations. By the way, had a great time in Houston. You guys have a massive city. I didn't realize how large Houston actually was.
It is huge. Even for us, I'm a native Houstonian, and it's huge even for me.
My goodness. All right. But still great people down there. Mike, God bless you, my friend. Enjoy that Whataburger. It's a double meat Whataburger. Yeah, that sounds tasty. All right, coming up, we do have a Whataburger story, Smoothie King, and believe it or not, McDonald's. You're not going to believe it. Stick around, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to this wartime edition of the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We can now tell you that the Pentagon sent B-1 bombers on a mission deep inside Iran. That information coming from U.S. Central Command. Also, we are awaiting an update on the terrorist attack from Austin, Texas, where a man wearing a Property of Allah shirt ended up gunning down a number of young people having a good time at a downtown bar. Also, the U.S. Embassy now ordering Americans in Iraq to shelter in place until further notice. We also understand that consulates and embassies have been attacked across parts of the Middle East, so just be very careful and follow all sorts of security protocols there. Very dangerous situation indeed. I want to turn our attention away from that for just a moment to talk about this this Smoothie King story I was teasing in the previous hour of the program. So a couple was, I don't know, perhaps parched, and they were wanting to go to Smoothie King. Dylan, have you ever been to Smoothie King?
I have, yes.
What do they serve there?
They serve smoothies.
Oh.
They're kind of the king of smoothies.
It's the name of the store, Smoothie King.
Yeah.
All right. Smoothie Queens would, well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. That's a different location.
They're fabulous. We love Smoothie Queen. Anyway, there was an incident at the Smoothie King. Stop. It's Monday in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I am shocked by this. So this couple walks in to the Smoothie King, and he's wearing a hooded sweatshirt, and it's got the President Trump's name on it. I think a lot of people wear those kinds of things. And the employee was very offended by this shirt. So first of all, I want you to hear, let's hear from the employee, who I guess ended up filming herself, but she admitted that she was refusing them service simply because the guy, the husband, was wearing a Trump hoodie.
Yeah, like we don't support that. Our company is not about that. Like, we're not really comfortable with that. Okay, well, you can have a great day because we have the right to refuse service. So,
okay, so you're discriminating, right?
So because we're just said you're getting loud, sir. You're like,
that's fine. We will.
Okay, thank you. Like, no, we're not serving Trump supporters. You have a great day.
What's your name?
You have a great day. I'm worried. I'm confused. This is a joke, too. Like, we're questioning the same thing. Okay. Because you're a Trump supporter? They're going on Facebook Live because they're Trump supporters. Did Trump just not start a war yesterday?
You're refusing service to this establishment because of holding you, right? Which is discrimination.
You know that ICE is going on right now?
Which is discrimination, right?
Yeah, but you came in here with, like,
okay, well, you said you were going to leave, so please just have a great day and leave so we can continue what we're doing. Like, thank you.
We were just wanting a smoothie, and you literally looked at us and I asked you if everything was okay. You said you don't feel comfortable serving me because of my husband's hoodie.
Yes.
This is discrimination.
Okay, well, have a great day. Like, you're
saying
weird.
Like, discriminates us. So
that's illegal, okay.
I said Trump discriminates us.
Right.
It has nothing to do with us wanting a smoothie.
Okay, but that's who you support. That's who you love, though. So go ahead. Have a great day.
You don't own smoothie.
Okay, have a great day. Like, why are they still here? Why are they still here? Okay, that's fine. Like, you're just making up a comfortable. I don't care. Like, have a great day. Get out. Go. Go. Get out. Like, he's, like, go. Like, is that, are you not embarrassed? Are you not embarrassed? That's embarrassing. You guys supporting Trump, that's embarrassing for you. That's embarrassing for you guys. It's not embarrassing because my manager was here. She said the same thing to you. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying to you, okay? That's
hey, you know that's a crime, right?
It's not, though. We have the right to refuse service here, and that's what we did. You asked her what was wrong, and she said that she was uncomfortable, right or wrong. You asked the question, she answered. Have a great day. Have a great day. The door is right there. Have a great day. Thank you. Have a great day. Call the police. Okay, what's the police going to do?
Oh,
oh, my God. There's no way. Okay, why are you still in here? Have a good day. Like, what? Wait, what the No, wait, I'm sorry. Like, I'm so sorry. I need to do these both. Like,
okay. Well, I hate to – this young woman's name is Janiyah Williams. And she has started a GoFundMe page because apparently she no longer works here, but she apparently quit. She wasn't fired. Janiyah, ladies and gentlemen, is what we would call a racist. That's right. A full-blown racist. who talks very fast. And there are many other words that come to mind when listening to this woman speak, but most of them are not appropriate for the radio. But I'm just wondering if any of you have ever experienced any sort of discrimination like that. I mean, you heard her say that she was denying them service because they were Trump supporters. You also heard her say that it was because Trump started a war and also because of ICE. And so, therefore, the Trump supporters, the white Trump supporters, would not be provided service by the black employee at Smoothie King. Smoothie King is not talking about this. They're not issuing a statement. They're not apologizing. They're not doing anything. Now, I want you to hear the employee there said that they were filming, and I want you to hear what the couple had to say.
Right, which is discrimination.
Yeah, we're at Smoothie King, and they're discriminating and saying we cannot get service because Jake has a Trump service on.
Okay, well,
so
you said you were going to leave, so please just have a great day and leave.
We were just wanting a smoothie, and you literally looked at us, and I asked you if everything was okay. You said we don't feel comfortable serving you because of my husband's hoodie. Yes. That is discrimination.
Okay, well, have a great day.
That is illegal.
That's illegal.
I said Trump
discriminates
us.
That has nothing to do with us wanting a smoothie.
Okay, well, that's who you support. That's what you love.
You don't, but you don't own this. You don't own Smoothie King.
You're going to no longer have your job.
Literally. Like, I'm confused. Is this a joke?
Good luck maintaining your appointment.
I don't care. Like, have a great day.
When your company is charged, yeah, you will.
So, literally, Jake's wearing his hoodie. They would not serve us because Jake's wearing a Trump hoodie. Talking about discrimination? It is embarrassing. No, what's embarrassing is that we're American citizens and I wanted to get a smoothie.
Because my manager's here, she said the same thing to you. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying to you, okay?
But then, hey. You know that's a crime, right?
It's not.
Discrimination
though.
Is
we
a crime.
We have the right to refuse service here, and that's what we
not
did.
Due to political views, though. Not due to political
views. You asked her what was wrong, and she said that she was uncomfortable, right or wrong. You asked the question, she answered. Have a great day. Have a great day. The door is right there. Have a great day.
How embarrassing.
Have a great day. Call the police. Okay?
Wow.
Discrimination.
Yeah, I am going to call the police.
Oh, my God. It's insane. So, look, discrimination is a crime. It is illegal in the U.S. under federal and state laws. Now, typically, it's a civil rights violation. Did this escalate to a hate crime? No, it did not. But clearly, this couple was being discriminated against. And the idea that Smoothie King will not come out and address this issue is a little troubling to me. But there you have. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. How dare you? I'm just going to deny you service. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, lady. Blah, 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 blah. If you say so, ma'am, if you say so. And that brings me to the Whataburger story. This story is just insane. Have you had Whataburger, Dylan?
I have, yeah. Are you going to ask me what they serve?
No. They serve discrimination.
Yeah, apparently.
Supersized. Here's what gets me about Whataburger, and it's kind of like In-N-Out. Okay, it's a burger. I'm just like, okay. Is it better than McDonald's? Yes, but it's a burger, unless it's a quarter pounder. And you know, make the quarter pounders fresh. I learned this from Franklin Graham, by the way.
The quarter pounders are one of the best cheeseburgers.
And they have to make them fresh, which is why they're delicious. So this poor kid shows up at a Whataburger, and he's an employee. And I think, I don't know much, he's a little different, this kid, but he loves Jesus, and he loves Whataburger. And he especially loves a blueberry Dr. Pepper shake or something. And so this kid in Lexington, South Carolina, which is where there is a Whataburger, this poor kid was fired for posting positive social media reviews. So what would happen is after his shift, he would get his food, he would go outside, sit on the sidewalk, and eat his meal and review it as he was eating it. And he always gave Whataburger positive reviews. It seems to me that Whataburger should be happy with this. I'm not sure why there's a problem. The young man's name is Byron Hoodie. And Byron was harassed by staff. He was bullied by his coworkers because he would quote scripture and he would offer to pray. Apparently, they did not like that. So anyway, all of this is on video. There was a lot of cursing, so I didn't want to play it for you. It's just weird. But anyway, customers are really upset about this, and now they're demanding that Whataburger hire this kid back. Now, In-N-Out is getting involved, and they found out about it. And so In-N-Out has offered this young man a job. The problem is they don't have an In-N-Out in Lexington, South Carolina, so he'd have to move to, I don't know, California. Not sure he wants to do that, but I feel really bad for this kid. And it makes you wonder what the heck is going on. So now the local customers are trying to shut down the Whataburger in Lexington, South Carolina. A lot of hate out there. Can't you just, I just don't get that. Can't you just let the kid be, let him be alone? I mean, just leave the kid alone. Makes no sense to me. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. What would you do? You go into a Smoothie King and they treat you like that because you're wearing a Trump hat? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. You know, Dylan, that's one of the reasons I do not wear a Trump hat to a restaurant. I'm always afraid somebody's going to spit in my food or something.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of those restaurants hire lefties.
Well, people are getting more aggressive now, too. The waiters and the waitresses, they won't serve you, and it'll be worse. They'll actually go off on you and make you leave.
One time I was at a restaurant, it was a couple of weeks ago. Stopped in. I cook a lot at home. You know, I had the soup though, a soup and salad, and so I ordered the soup, and I called the waiter. I'm like, "What is that floating on the top of the soup?" And I thought it was. And he said, "Oh, it's a crouton."
A little bit of the crouton got stuck in the soup.
Maybe? Paranoid, I guess. Wow. Yeah, I guess they accidentally dropped a crouton.
Yeah. Well, you got to be concerned about those things.
It was nothing nefarious. Yeah. But you never know.
Have to think about that.
Was the crouton laced with something? All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, we will have wall-to-wall coverage of the war against Iran. That's on the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2 tonight. And by the way, if you are tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. Millions of Americans have already made the switch. It is free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access. You get all of President Trump's most important events live. Imagine, for example, watching Governor Mike Huckabee's Israel special or Melania Trump documentary, Clint Eastwood, Charlie Kirk specials, even the movie Jesus of Nazareth. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you're not going to stop, folks. Try it for free. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com, then download the app. It is easy, so make the switch today, NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, there you go. Want to play some audio for you. This is Congressman Brandon Gill, and he's talking about the situation in Texas where if you go to a mall, a shopping area, well, it's not like it used to be. Take a listen.
I hear from constituents all the time who are deeply and desperately concerned about the Islamization of the Dallas area. They're hearing about mosques that are popping up near land that they or their family have owned for generations. They're hearing about these epic city compounds that are popping up where you have entire communities who are being transformed. When you hear about constituents talking about going to their local malls and you look around and it feels like you're in Pakistan, not Dallas, Texas, that's a problem. And you're seeing our communities, our culture, the place that we know and love here being fundamentally transformed, and my constituents are concerned, and I'm concerned.
By the way, that goes all the way back to Barack Hussein Obama, and that's how bad it is. But look, previous Republican presidents shared the same viewpoint of importing all of these Islamists to America. And now you've got what is going to be a virtual takeover of the entire state of Texas. Do you have a problem with that, ladies and gentlemen? Meanwhile, the son of the former Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi, speaking out yesterday, cut number one.
What is your message to President Trump?
My message to President Trump is that I'm here to echo and join millions of my compatriots inside and outside of Iran to thank him for having done and having the courage to do what is not easy, but intervene. And he will go down in the annals of Iranian history as the most celebrated foreign leader that changed the ball game and changed the world as a result.
In January, President Trump said this about you, quote, "He seems very nice, but I don't know how he'd play within his own country. I don't know whether or not his country would accept his leadership. And certainly if they would, that would be fine with me." You don't seem to have President Trump's wholehearted support.
Well, first of all, I don't think that somebody in my position will ever expect to have an official endorsement of a foreign government or a foreign leader. What I do know now is that millions of Iranians inside Iran and outside of Iran are calling my name. They recognize in me the person uniquely placed to play a role of transitional leadership. Not running for office, because that's not what I'm doing, but to be a bridge to that destiny.
Yeah, it was a great answer. And again, I know we're hearing the word regime change. That's going to have to be decided by the Iranian people, not us. All right, let's go to the phones. Oh, let's not go to the phones. We had Mark in the Villages. We'll get back to Mark. Wanted to know if Whataburger was owned by Mark Wahlberg. No, that's Wahlburgers, not to be confused with What a Burger, but Wahlburger. And again, it's okay. It's good. It's just it's a burger. Now, if you want a great burger, I have two places to tell you to go. Number one is Topps Barbecue. And if you are blessed to live in an area where they have it's a great barbecue joint, but the burgers are they're off the charts. However, if you're looking for a really nice burger, Ruth's Chris, and you can go there, and if you're polite about it, even at supper time, it's not on the menu, but you can ask and they'll make you a burger. And let me tell you something, folks, that's a mighty delicious burger, and it's not going to bust the bank either. I was like, $20. All right, yeah, that's not bad. All right, I got to take a break here. We're expecting Congressman Tim Burchett in the next segment, plus your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our next guest is really one of the great wordsmiths of the United States Congress. I say he's better than Senator John Kennedy. You don't want to compare people like that. We like Senator Kennedy, but when it comes to really getting down to the meat of the issue, no one does it better than Congressman Tim Burchett, who posted just moments, well, a little while ago, "The world now realizes Donald J. Trump and Pete Hegseth put an end to our military men wearing dresses." Congressman Burchett, good to have you back with us.
Hey, it's good to be with you, Todd. Good seeing you the other night at another chicken dinner.
Boy, you're not. Yes, I was at the Crystal a couple hours later, Congressman.
Yeah, we ate. I can't remember what we did, but I fell asleep for a little bit. I was on about a 23-hour venture that day.
You may not know this, but the folks in West Tennessee really don't think much of the folks in East Tennessee, and they really don't like Nashville. But, man, you brought down the house. I mean, that was an incredible speech you gave.
Well, thank you. I'll have to go back and watch it and see what I said.
Yeah.
Just get wound up and just go. So thank you. You're very kind. You're very kind.
You know, Congressman, want to get your reaction to what transpired over the weekend. And I tell you, God bless our military. They are you don't want to mess with those folks.
No, sir. I hope we get out of there as fast as possible. I think once we accomplish our goal, and it's not to occupy, I don't see America as an occupying nation anymore. I see us, let's get in, get out, take care of the problem, and let's move on. The Chinese are unhappy with us, which I think is a great thing, because now they were buying their oil from Iran, and so now they're going to be going somewhere else, and maybe not further advancing a lot of their communist takeovers around the world.
I think there's a lot of angst in some circles in the America First crowd. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Marjorie Taylor Greene, your former colleague from Georgia, and they're really enraged right now at President Trump. And I don't want to read verbatim, but it seems to me they feel like President Trump has betrayed the America First movement. How do you see it?
I don't buy that. I'm cautious. I'm sorry that poor Americans have lost their lives. But I think what you see is that I think we actually avoided a war, because every time this bunch ever since the hostage taking in the 70s during the Carter administration, you know, they've armed Hezbollah. That's sort of their shadow military. They killed 240 Marines in Libya. They've in 2000 they hit a Navy ship and killed some sailors. So they're pretty. They have American blood on their hands, and I'm hoping that the people there rise up and they put a form of democracy like they had prior to the Shah of Iran taking it over back then. So I feel good about the way we're in. But I hope we got an exit plan pretty soon.
You know, Congressman, today the president giving some remarks, also honoring a great World War II veteran, Master Sergeant Roddy Edmonds from Knoxville. Of course, you were the mayor of Knox County for a long time, and President Trump sure. honoring him today with the Medal of Honor ceremony.
Yeah, I know his son very well. Our office had worked on it, lady named Jenny Stansberry. She's since retired. She and I went to school together, but she was really instrumental in it, in getting that award for his family. And there was a couple others. One guy, a hill in Vietnam, and called in airstrike for about 5 hours, got shag, and he was there, and it was crazy. I went up and shook his hand, and he said, "I watch all your videos. I'm a big fan." And I thought, wow. And then another guy, and of course, Marsha Blackburn helped us in the Senate with that. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, and Senator Hagerty as well. And another fella, a bunch of suicide bombers broke up. They went to fight him, and he ran across an open area with a Polish military guy, and they threw a grenade or an explosive, and he rolled over on it and took the whole blast. And the Polish, and 8 days later, the guy, he didn't have any of his Kevlar or nothing on. He didn't
wow.
get that on. And he lost his life. And the guy from Poland was there with his two boys and his wife. And President Trump asked him to speak, and he had named one of his sons after the Army fellow that lost his life. And his mom and the guy who lost his life, the American, his mom and dad were there, and they were as sweet as they could be. And so it was, Trump was all about them. And I was so glad, because there's some, all of us politicians and stuff are there, and they didn't really talk about to us or about us any. It wasn't our day. It was those folks' day. And I was so glad. And I would remind people, they did not win anything. They earned it. And one of them did with his life. So that was it was just pretty cool. I was very proud to be an American and very proud to be a Tennessean.
Well said. It was a proud moment, absolutely. We have Congressman Tim Burchett on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I just want to circle back. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but have you had any conversations with Marjorie Taylor Greene? Because something has changed in her. I don't know what it is, but, you know, we've seen the same thing sort of happen to even like Tucker Carlson. What in the world is going on right now within that social media conservative influencer crowd?
I think Israel better get back a hold of the narrative. And I think they better talk to us and not talk at us. And the folks at AIPAC are, I think they need to realize that. It's not, I think they messed up back in the day because they would support Democrats just because they were Democrats and they weren't necessarily pro-Israel or anything they stood for. And now you've got a group of conservatives, young conservatives that are not pro-Israel. And so I think they're going to have to do some work. I really do. And they better not take anything for granted in this Congress, because I don't see that they've got a lot of Democrat support and they're losing Republican support.
And they're losing Republicans. And, of course, that is a big concern as we move towards the midterms. And I know you were, we had Senator Marsha Blackburn was at our table the other night. Have you heard what the heck is going on right now in the Senate? And what's the holdup with the majority leader pushing forward on the SAVE Act, Save America Act?
That is the million-dollar question, because according to my friend, Senator Lee, we can do that with that standing filibuster. We can do it with 50 votes if they'll just work. But I noticed the other day they were having a dog pageant in the Senate, and they were busy doing that and other things. So I think there's a lot of arrogance that goes with that, and I don't know how that works. I can't imagine them looking at that and saying, this is a good thing to lay in this vote, because what you're doing, I mean, we've got primaries this week, Arkansas, I think in Texas,
North Carolina.
Yeah. So they better start paying attention, because this thing's coming down to the wire. And if they want to throw it back, let us lose the majority, then they're going about it the right way, because this is where we'll lose it.
Congressman, I do want to bring up something, and I think we're on the opposite side of this issue. Scott Pressler, who's really been working his butt off out there getting folks registered to vote, showed up on Capitol Hill, and you pointed out that he needs to consider maybe changing his look, his appearance, and you recommended the mullet.
Well, he had asked about his hair, cutting his hair, and I said, well, sure, get a mullet. I mean, you know, it says you're formal, but you're there to party. So I think it's a good look. He also, I don't know if you saw it yesterday. I didn't know I'd made such an impression on him, but he'd AI'd his picture and said he was changing his look. And he had that picture of me and him, you know, the obligatory picture, stand up and said my name, played out front there. And they put him in a Carhartt jacket. So I was like, dude, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Just be careful. Somebody's going to ask you to change the oil in their pickup truck when you're wearing that jacket.
I got to tell you, after Billy Ray, it was like he jumped the shark with that mullet. I just couldn't get over it. It's
Billy Ray Cyrus is interesting. We share the same birthday, and a lot of people have confused us. Like, I'm sort of like the Clark Kent. He's sort of the Superman.
I can see that. I get that a lot. By the way, congratulations. While you're in Memphis, and if the rumors are true, you were named the honorary Duckmaster at the Peabody Hotel. What was that like?
That was surreal. I actually changed my bio on Twitter to the honorary Duckmaster. And, I mean, I got a Duckmaster cane and a shirt and a tie and cufflinks. I'll have to get a shirt so I can wear cufflinks with, because I don't have one, obviously. But maybe I can put them in the end of my Carhartt. I'm not sure. But no, they, Kylie, the Peabody, how cool is that? So historic. The Bells family, wonderful people. And I couldn't say enough about them. And they let me hang out with the ducks. And, of course, you know, I'm an animal guy anyway. So it was, I kind of speak their language. We had the best time. I got to walk them out and walk them back in and then took them up to the roof to their duck condos. And I mean, it's just a cool, it was cool history. And being from Tennessee is something I would never in a million years thought that I would get the opportunity to do.
It's well, welcome to the club. I got to be the honorary duck master a few years ago, and it's really, it's so much fun. And, but Congressman, I made the mistake of, I suggested to Rachel that maybe, you know, we could invite, you know, the Duck Dynasty guys up to walk the ducks, and they don't want those guys anywhere near the ducks. So that's
fair, huh? They'll hunt them. I've eaten duck before. I don't know why you'd want to eat a dadgum duck. They don't have any fat, so it's kind of dry and not real tasty. So I'm a fried chicken guy. So yeah, no need to worry about me shooting one or eating one. They fly over my house every night. I can set my watch by it. When they come and they go, they do it in the morning right when the sun's coming up, and they do it at night right when the sun's going down. It's kind of surreal, really.
You know, out of respect for the ducks, they have a French restaurant there at the Peabody, Chez Philippe, and they don't have duck. Yeah. They don't have duck on the menu. One of the few French restaurants, they don't serve the duck out of respect.
Well, I wonder what they do, because they keep them for about 5 months and then they move them on. I wondered what happened to them, but now that you tell me that you got to be an honorary duck master, that the honor just doesn't seem that is big now, Todd. I'm not sure. You kind of ruined it.
So. I'm hanging up on you now, Congressman.
I love you, brother.
Likewise, Congressman. Well, look, we appreciate the great work you're doing up there. We got to get that SAVE Act through, a lot of work, and we also have to get the DHS funding restored. And I'll give you the last word on that.
Well, it's right now with what's going on in Iran, and we know there's sleeper cells in this country, and they're being encouraged. Actually, it seems like by members of Congress. So it's just crazy that the Democrats have defunded Homeland Security. It just doesn't make any sense at all. We ought to force another vote on it and make them vote on it this week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congressman, always good having you on the show.
Thank you, Todd. It's great. It was great seeing you. And, you know, but I will tell the people, I walked up on stage to give my speech. And then I came back and my chicken, it was just bones, and you were over there wiping your face with a napkin. So I'm not really sure what happened on that. But I'll have to go back and watch the film.
I'm fairly certain I have a pretty darn good alibi.
All right, brother.
All right, Congressman. Tim Burchett, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Dang, Dylan, he was throwing shade.
A little bit,
what
man.
The heck?
It's just love. It's brotherly love.
I don't think anybody ate that shit. Now we're creating a scandal here.
Apparently,
we haven't mentioned the caterer, have we?
All
right,
I don't think so.
Don't do that. Don't do that. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So some brand new polling out. A couple of polls I want to share with you. Number one, a new CNN poll finds a strong majority of Americans disapprove of the U.S. attack on Iran, 59% to 41%. You know, the people you need to be surveying would be the Iranians who live in America right now and see what they have to say about that. Meanwhile, and this is an interesting poll, this is coming out of the Center for American Political Studies at Harvard. They teamed up with the Harris Poll, and they've been monitoring the midterm elections, and we're just about 8 months away. Tomorrow we have the big primaries, and three states will be covering that wall-to-wall tomorrow. But it turns out that in their previous poll, they said that American voters said they would rather have Democrats in charge of Congress than Republicans. And by the way, that number was 54% to 46%. Well, now we can tell you that the numbers are pretty much 50-50, so the Republicans are once again gaining ground. Reading from Mediaite, when presented with the following hypothetical campaign message from the GOP, 54% of respondents said they found it believable. Republicans say they are returning responsibility to government by arresting criminals, closing the borders, keeping taxes low, dropping energy costs. We can't go back to the Democrats who are allowing our cities and our way of life to deteriorate and prices on energy and food to soar while fraud took billions and billions of dollars. So again, 54% said, yeah, I believe all of that. Now, here's what they said about Democrats. This was the survey question. Democrats say, we are for affordability, free government services, free housing, transportation, health care for all, free student loans. We have the money and can provide these services if you elect us to office, and we will bring down the billionaires. 48% of respondents said they found that hypothetical message somewhat credible. But 61% of Americans indicated they would be receptive, now this is interesting, to an overtly anti-Trump message from Democrats. Along the lines of, suppose the Democrats say we need to stop Donald Trump, he is a runaway dictator, and we need a check on his power by returning the Congress to the Democrats. By the way, the president's approval rating, net approval rating, is now going up just a smidge from last month. Well, let's see what happens when the president succeeds in the efforts in Iran. Let's see what happens then. All right, we got to leave it there. At 5 o'clock Eastern, everybody, we'll be on the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax. We will see you back here on the radio tomorrow, noon o'clock Eastern. Be good, everybody.